big rocks and all that sort of thing.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
One loves Ace of Spades in your camp voice.
Wow.
Yeah. I
don't have a camp voice.
You do.
I think if anybody's got a camp voice,
you do.
My friend, yeah. My cricket loving camp friend.
Everybody heard it. Everybody that saw that show, whatever show it was.
I just spoke the truth.
Heard it.
Hello and welcome to a very special...
This isn't a special edition.
This is a special edition
in the same way that the last reissue of Led Zeppelin 4 was a special edition. It was more like it was a special price.
Wow. Yeah. Special price.
Yeah, very expensive.
Yes, yeah. Well, that's clearly not this, is it? So please welcome my partner.
Yeah.
That's his name. Don't get the wrong idea. You know, I know he's camp, but my partner, Johnny James Rotten, and myself, W. Mick Wall. And we all know what the W stands for.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
What does it stand for, John?
Yeah. The whole thing is an anagram, isn't it? W. Mick Wall, when you spell it out.
An anagram?
Yeah.
WMW.
It's not an anagram.
Oh, what's an anagram?
An anagram's where, you know, the word, the letters are mixed up.
Oh.
And you unscramble them and they spell something else. Yeah, and W. Axl Rose.
Mm-hmm. Spells?
Oral sex.
Does it?
Yeah.
What does W?
Well, no, the W's not in there, but...
Uh-oh. And what about W. Mick Wall?
Yeah, that's what...
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's very kind of you to say so. Yeah. So, John, we're going to go straight into the deep end here with our very good friend of this show, The Dealer.
The dealer's back.
The dealer never went away, my friend.
No, he didn't. Actually, that's true.
He never went away.
The dealer never went away.
The band went away.
He fulfilled every contractual commitment. That's what he's saying now.
Well,
he didn't always play the right songs. So fucking what?
Who cares? I mean, Motley Crue.
Yeah, Motley Crue. How do you tell? You know, Nikki Six has played a wrong note. I mean, how do you fucking know?
Isn't it all just one song?
Yeah,
anyway?
Vince. Oh, I think Vince was very slightly out of tune on that one. Oh dear. Do you? Yeah.
Well, I heard said.
Yeah, very slightly out of tune. Drunk.
Yes.
Just got off his motorbike.
Yes. You
know,
yes. Meanwhile, the dealer is on the stage. And when the dealer is on the stage, you know he's been dealt.
He's doing his dealing.
He's dealing with you.
Yeah.
You have been dealt.
Dealt the cold hand of death.
That's right. Well,
that's
funny,
what he's dealt out.
Funny you should say that, because...
This is the ongoing cycle. He's been sacked or kicked out or whatever it is that happens to you in Motley Crue. Who hasn't been kicked out? Vince has been kicked out of Motley Crue. Matthew Tripp has been kicked out of Motley Crue. Frank Varana has been kicked out of Motley Crue and replaced by Matthew Tripp and then got back in again. Tommy Lee has been kicked out of Motley Crue.
Was he?
Yeah, he left, didn't he?
I mean, it rings a bell.
He definitely did.
Yeah, but they didn't replace him.
Well, I don't know. He might have gone and come back before anyone knew he went.
Let me guess, they replaced him with Jason Bonham.
Yeah, probably. No, Tommy Aldridge.
Tommy Average.
Yeah, Tommy Average. They got him. So everyone in Motley Crue has at some stage been replaced.
Yes, that's true.
So replacing the dealer, you know, that ain't no thing.
Yeah, but you see, well, not for them maybe, but for the true fan. The dealer is irreplaceable.
It can't happen.
It's irreplaceable.
They've all been thrown out. Everyone knows Motley Crue is the four people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Led by the dealer.
Yeah, because it's his band.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
It was his band back in the day.
Still is.
Back in the early 1970s.
So, Mick, it says here, has done an exclusive interview with Rolling Stone. And the headline is, Mick Mars goes to war with Motley Crue.
Yeah. See, it was inevitable. You can't just, it's like, as James Hetfield discovered, you can't poke the bear.
You
because the fucking bear will come out.
Well, yeah. I think that that's an interesting point you raise, obviously. But yeah. I think in James Hetfield's case, he did more than poke the poor bloody thing, didn't he?
Well, he had a gun, which I think is unfair, isn't it? I mean, if you're going to fight a bear, that's man
right.
up, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't take a gun.
So listen, I love the way this story begins because it is pure dealer, okay? This is the actual story. I'm going to read you the first bit.
Okay, yeah, good. Here we go.
Mick Mars has spent a great deal of time thinking about his own death.
Yeah.
Which will happen, he estimates, in about 8 years, tops. It gets better, it gets better.
He's been saying that for years, though, hasn't he, Mick Mars? Oh, he's always going on about the...
Yeah, but he's given a time.
Yeah, but that's Mick Mars years. That could mean anything. Do you think Mick Mars has the same concept of time as everyone else?
Clearly not.
He's on space time.
We live in Mick Mars time, yeah, he's not on the other space way around. Time. That's right. That's why his name is Mars.
Exactly, yeah. How long does a year last on Mars?
Is there life on
Mars?
Lasts
fucking longer because the sun, you know,
yeah,
that's further right. away.
So can
it?
I just tell you the beginning of this story because it gets better. So... He estimates his death will be in about 8 years tops.
Yeah.
There won't be a funeral or memorial service of any kind, he says.
You won't know. You won't. We won't know.
As far as I know, he died back in 83 anyway. He's just hasn't been buried yet. Anyway, it says here, instead, the Motley... Notice how it is the Motley Crue guitarist. It's not the
ex-Motley Crue. No, yeah. Or the disputed Motley Crue guitarist. Yeah.
There's only one guitarist in Motley Crue.
And it's not John fucking Five.
Five and a half.
Yeah. Five and a half out of ten. Yeah.
Instead, the Motley Crue guitarist wants the cremated remains of his body, which has been ravaged for nearly 60 years... by the disfiguring bone disease, you know how to say it.
Yeah, ankylosing spondylitis.
There you go. So he wants his cremated remains of his body packed into a lead urn. Quote, this is from the dealer, quote, I want them to take it in an airplane and drop it into the centre of the Bermuda Triangle.
Ah, oh, that is cool.
Because I want people to be able to say, Mick Mars is lost in the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, see, that is cool.
See, that's cool.
And it has the added possibility that the plane carrying Mick Mars will disappear in the Bermuda Triangle.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
So he could actually, he's got sort of two opportunities to disappear in the Bermuda Triangle. The
first, and he will take them both.
Yeah, he probably will.
He will take those opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah. But you won't know because he's not going to tell anyone he's dead.
No. No, he's not one to flap his lips.
I haven't seen the dealer for a while. Fuck. Maybe it's happened. It's a good way of keeping you on your toes.
It is. And it says, I mean, I didn't know this either. It says here, on the day he spoke to Rolling Stone, it happened to be his 72nd birthday. Oh. Bless him.
Bless him.
See, I thought he was a lot older than
you. Yeah, I think he is a lot. I don't think he knows, really. I don't think he knows.
It says here, sorry to keep on, but just the beginning
just
of it
better.
Makes me laugh. Yeah, it goes, he's seated on a couch in the living room of his Tennessee mansion.
Yeah.
Draped head to toe in black with his thin black hair protruding from the back of a newsboy cap. His skin is so pale, it looks almost translucent. And about 5 feet away in his lounge are 10 enormous Marshall speaker stacks and studio quality microphones that he's been using to record his debut solo album.
Oh, see, 72 and you're making your debut solo album. Well, he knows he's got 8 years to get it done.
Although he does say, I don't feel a day over 71.
Yeah, but because he doesn't know, does he? But he's got 8 years to get it done. He's put that limit on it because he will be dead in 8 years.
But he's got 10 Marshall stack amps.
Yeah.
But next to the couch.
Why are you surprised by that?
Well, I didn't know if you made an album, you needed that kind of stuff. We're missing a trick. We should get some in here, shouldn't we?
That's why your weedy little album that you made never got anywhere. Underpowered, mate. That's what you should have called it. Underpowered.
Thin gruel.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one up the crew. Did he say anything about the crew in there?
Absolutely.
Just announced his solo album and that's it.
No.
He announced both his imminent death and his solo album.
No. Well, it says he's in the midst of a nasty legal battle.
Yeah.
But it goes on about...
You know how Motley Crue resolve all their legal battles? The person rejoins for a tour. That's what happens.
It really goes into great...
I hope his album, by the way, is a concept album about the Bermuda Triangle. That would be cool, and it kind of climaxes with his own death. Mm. That would be fucking... His own disappearance in the Bermuda Triangle.
Presumed
death. That would be fucking amazing.
And then people would be saying, did he
That's what the album could be called, just Presumed Dead.
Yeah.
That
or Already Dead.
Yeah.
Already Dead.
But question mark. Yeah.
Yeah, because that will really,
that'll fuck people up.
That will fuck you up, man. Yeah. The dealer will fuck you up.
Imagine Six not knowing whether... John Five doesn't know whether the dealer's dead. He doesn't know, he'll never have job security because he just doesn't know.
John 5.1 out of 10.
Yeah. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah. I don't even know what he looks like.
He doesn't look like anything.
He looks like a generic... It could be in Alice Cooper's band or...
He probably was in Alice Cooper's band.
Hollywood Wankers.
Oh, yeah, the Hollywood Wankers. He's probably in there.
Yeah. Of course he is.
Yeah. The Hollywood Tossers.
And seriously, though, whenever he's in... Was he in Guns N' Roses, John Five and a bit?
Yeah, was he in the one when Axl was doing Chinese Takeaway? That's the one he was in. He's on one of those.
Yeah.
Probably co-wrote a couple of those.
Yeah. Did you ever hear the full title of the album, but the record company, Woker Haunters, the record company forced him to eliminate
part of it.
The latter part, because it was Chinese Takeaway, Derivery or Correction?
Oh, see, you can't. That's it. You will be cancelled now.
That's Axl Rose, my friend, back in the day
That's true.
Before we had woke lollipops sucking.
That's true.
Dreams and love and unicorns. So anyway, I don't know how we got to that, but here we go. I've got one more quote from Mick. When they wanted to get high and fuck everything up, I covered for them.
Yeah, that's fucking now, true. That
it is
true.
That goes, now they're trying to take my legacy away, my part of Motley Crue, my ownership of the name, the brand. How can you fire Mr. Heinz from Heinz Ketchup?
Exactly. There you go, you see. He's right.
He's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. And I'll tell you what, it's heartrending as well, because he talks about how he hasn't had a meaningful conversation with anybody in the band since 2019.
Yeah.
2019.
And when he says anybody in the band, he doesn't mean Vince or Tommy. Let's be honest about this. I mean, because no one's had a meaningful conversation with Vince Neil in the past, you know.
Since Axl offered him out.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then ran away.
That was Vince's glory era. There's no doubt about that. That was Vince in excelsis, and he's gone gradually downhill since then. Well, not so gradually.
Yeah. Well, you know. I have a soft spot for
he's a good rock star.
What was it the Steel Panther guy said when you were interviewing him? And he said, "No, I'm not a fat David Lee Roth or something. I'm a fat." I can't remember what it was.
It was something like that. Because the guy from Steel Panther can do them all. He's great. He can do everything from Coverdale to Vince to Rat. He does all those songs.
What, in those voices?
Yeah. Well, you listen, go online and look them up when they do their covers. They do brilliant covers.
Do they?
Yeah, they're great.
Oh, I'm a big Panther fan.
Yeah. But they do all their own stuff now, but back in the day when they were called Metal Shop, they just used to do covers and they were brilliant at
it. What was that track?
And he did brilliant Dave Lee Roth, obviously.
That track, was it last year or earlier this year, about how the good old
1987.
Days...
1987.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking
that
hell.
Was good.
What a great track.
That was really good.
What a great track. Great track. Yeah. So we appear to have, unusually for us, veered
away from Mick Mars. But, you know, more power to you, Mick. That's what I say. And your lawsuit and your lawyers.
Absolutely. And Mick,
who is Motley Crue's manager these days?
Oh, God, I don't know.
See, because ever since they've not had Doc, because Doc would have resolved this situation, there's no doubt.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I think Doc got a bit sick of them in the end.
So, yeah, he got sick of them because he's constantly having to fight these fires. But he would have resolved this.
Yeah, by walking out, probably.
Well, he would have beaten one of them up and that would have been it.
Doc would never. No. No. Anyway, that's enough from the dealer today. But the dealer will be back.
We won't go away, unless, if you don't see him for a while, don't forget the 8-year maximum.
Yeah.
Because he didn't put a minimum on it, did he?
8 years tops.
He will just disappear. You will hear one day, you know, like on one of those shows about the Bermuda Triangle or something, you'll hear about this.
First the deal.
Crime and Investigation Channel at, you know, 1:30 a.m.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
William Shatner investigates the Bermuda Triangle. You'll fucking hear about
it. That's serious stuff.
That's proper,
you know, when you've got William Shatner covering your
say investigates, he does genuinely.
He gets in there amongst
the
weeds.
There's no way they just round these things up.
No, he doesn't just beam it in.
No way.
Hey, come on.
No way.
Because that would be illogical.
Yeah.
Hey?
I know you're making some sort of Star Trek jokes, but I don't really watch it. I know you do.
Oh, you don't watch it.
I know you do. You love all those sorts of things. Oh, did you see the Jabberwocks on Star Wars? It was
fucking
brilliant.
No, I don't like Star Wars.
Oh no, because there's a massive difference.
Yeah, oh, there is.
There's such a massive
Star
difference.
Star Wars is for the children, and Star Trek is for the intellectuals.
Yes.
Particularly the first series where all the, I think they're known as females, were wearing, you'd almost like no skirts. They were so short.
Well, it was the 60s when they filmed those.
Yeah, absolutely.
60s in space was still swinging.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Even more so by the looks of it. Star Trek...
You sure I think what one it is.
Star Trek was where the 60s should have ended up.
In space.
In very, very short skirts.
Yeah.
And in Kirk's case, of far too tight jumper
over
his corseted gut.
I thought you were talking about Kurt from Metallica for a minute. You suddenly said Kirk. Wow. I thought, who you're about? Wow. Kurt Cobain.
No. Kirk Cobain.
Kurt, that's not his name, is it? Kurt.
Yeah.
Kurt Cobain.
And over to our grunge expert.
It's years since I thought about Kurt Cobain.
But you loved grunge.
It was so good.
You were so...
It just made everyone... so happy and, like, you know, it was great those days when the only people you could put on the cover of a magazine were either Kerr or Eddie Vedder.
Do you, that's true, isn't it? By 1994.
Who should we do this week? Should we do Kerr or should we do Eddie?
When you left Raw Magazine,
yeah, left,
abandoned me to my fate, and I can't remember his name, but some despicable cunt took over. The diktat came down that not only did we have to have a grunge artist on the cover every single issue, but I was the news editor.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Every single news story had to
be
form
about
a bridge to some grunge-related thing.
Yeah.
So, it, you know, it'd be like, you know, Def Leppard are doing some shows and Phil Collins, you know, who had coffee in Seattle last week.
Previously in that venue where Pearl Jam played a run of sold-out shows, you know, but they don't care about ticket sales. They don't care. They just give the tickets to the kids.
Yeah, they don't want the money.
They're grunge, man.
Yeah, well, sure.
They don't want the money.
I mean, to this day, they just live in these seedy Seattle apartments.
That's right, yeah.
Drinking their coffee. Down,
yeah, that's they don't.
In the rain.
Exactly, yeah. Just live down there on their private Seattle islands. They do. They're all Seattle's all private islands now, aren't they?
What, Pearl Jam?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they've got private islands, mate. There's bits of Seattle that are out in the Sound or whatever it's called, Puget Sound. They're like little individual islands.
Well,
it's like Sweden, where you get your own island.
It's all the Starbucks zillionaires, isn't it?
So they're and
Microsoft
Pearl
Jam.
And Pearl Jam. You know, but then, and then there's members of minor grunge bands, like sort of, you know, who are the ones, the Melvins or something. They've got their binoculars out from the mainland. They're just looking at, oh, yeah, there's Eddie in his fucking swimming trunks.
That's right. And they're saying to themselves, he might have a fucking mansion on his own island. But he ripped it all off from us.
Because we were the real sound.
We were the originators.
We were the sound of Seattle. All the pretenders. They, you know, they like, oh, I'm still alive. Yeah. All the Melvins. I could have written that. I just didn't want to.
Yeah, well, they kind of did write it and then threw it away because it was shit.
Yeah, that's right.
I think
yeah.
that's what they said.
Yeah, something like that.
And also, what was it, Tad?
It was
like,
when,
that
like,
huge guy.
Yeah, Tad. That was his name.
Oh, that was his name.
Yeah.
It's funny how
they merge into one.
Well, you go, Tad is like, a bit, isn't it? A Tad is a soupçon.
Yeah.
But Tad in grunge meant you were a fucking giant.
He's like the size of about four Kurt Cobains. And there's Kurt, you know.
You're about
Kurt,
the size of four Kurt Cobains.
Kurt has a hit. And then, you know, he decides, well, the next album I'm going to write, you know, Rape Me.
Yeah.
That's another hit there. You imagine the scenes in the Geffen A&R department when Rape Me landed on their desk.
Oh, did you ever?
You haven't seen
Succession, have you?
No, dude. I don't get that channel.
Okay, well,
channel it's on.
You'll find it somewhere, I promise you. But there's a great scene in one of the episodes where they're having this huge conference, all the shareholders and the big wigs and politicians, and they're in trouble. They're kind of trying to mask it all. And the woman goes out to give the speech, the rallying the troops speech, and one of the kind of saboteurs over the sound system, you suddenly hear, Rape Me. And it goes, burr, burr.
Because the thing about Rape Me was he wrote it to the tune of
Smells
Like Teen Spirit, which is what you, I mean, as an A&R man, that's what you want, isn't it? You want them to just basically rewrite their hit single on the next album. Yeah. That's what you're praying for.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want
And so they did.
Yeah, so
I
they
don't know
did.
Why they didn't release it
no,
as a single.
No, why didn't they? Yeah.
I could have seen that on Radio 1.
Yeah.
You know, in the 90s, Jackie Brambles.
Yeah. Hey, everyone, it's the new one from... That was Steps, and here's Nirvana. Yeah.
Rape me.
And the news has just come in that Kurt has killed himself.
Yeah. Rape me.
Yeah, here is the intro.
Here's his latest hit.
His finest song.
Rape me. You can all join in. Rape me.
And meantime, there's the Melvins looking at the Eddie's private island. I should have just written alive.
Yeah.
Not all that boring shit about, you know.
Yeah. One track.
Death.
One track. That's all they ever had. Alive.
They had other... Did they have other tracks?
Nah.
Not never. Jeremy. The one about the serial killer
Jeremy.
At school.
Of course, there's songs.
That was a good one.
Reminds me of when...
At school, drawing pictures. That one.
the first time Ross and I went, well, I think it's the only time we went to do a story on love hate. we were the guys that
love
broke
hate.
Them.
Yeah, well, they arrived at the completely the wrong time, didn't they? Love
Bless
hate.
Them.
Yeah.
We're just very late to the party. Yeah. But in 1990, I mean, it went on the cover of Kerrang, you know. And
just tell the listeners, the sort of listeners, viewers, whatever they are, what the singer of Love Hate was called.
Well, this is
as grunge arrived.
Well, this is my story. Yeah. His name was Jizzy Pearl. Rake me.
Because he'd gone down the list of, you know, how
cool
you make
names.
How you make your hair metal name.
Well, there's Izzy Stradlin, yeah, and Axl Rose,
yeah.
And
Jizzy Pearl.
Jizzy Pearl. So we're at Ross's studio in LA. He's never met them, you know, and he's
photographic studio. We should.
Sorry, yeah.
It's not a recording studio.
No. He's taking pictures, and they're all doing their thing, and he goes, "What's their names?" I went, "That singer's Jizzy." He went, "What?" I said, "It's Jizzy." He went. He goes, "Oi, Jizzy." And he looks and he goes, "What's your real name?" "Jeremy." And he goes, Yeah.
And he should have kept it because right at that exact moment, Eddie's writing Jeremy. Eddie's writing that song,
That's
Jeremy,
right.
And it's a fucking hit.
It is.
It's a big gold star hit.
Did they do a video? There's one they refused to do a video
Jeremy
for.
Jeremy spoke in class today. Do you remember that one?
No.
That was it. That's how it went.
No, you're making
it
up.
Jeremy spoke in. And what he meant was Jeremy shot everyone.
Oh, yeah. Well, why didn't you just fucking say that?
Because you can't. It's like
Jeremy
it's,
shot every motherfucker in the room.
It's like alluding to.
Oh, he's alluding.
Yeah.
What was Kurt?
Jeremy
or
spoke.
Kirk, as you like to name. Alluding to. What he rape me.
Yeah.
What was he alluding to?
No, he actually did, yeah.
Oh, I
probably.
See.
Okay. I don't know. I'd be speculating. Yeah. With Kurt, it's like.
God forbid.
Kirk,
you should speculate.
Kirk's lyrics were, you know, obscure. When you read the lyrics to, what is it?
Did you just say Kirk's lyrics?
The fuck
Kirk
his name is.
Kirk Cobain.
That's his name, yeah. Isn't it?
No, it is. It's funny you should say that because.
What's your real name? Is it Kirk?
Kirk.
It is, isn't it?
I was in that store, that new. It's like Poundland, but it's not called.
Yeah,
it's not called Poundland.
Yeah.
It's not called Poundland.
You and the bloke from the fucking Melvins, that's where you are.
No, it's where you can
while
get.
While Eddie Vedder's in Whole Foods.
No, it's
loading up his trolley with very expensive fucking lentils.
And herbal antidepressants.
Yeah.
No, it's a shop. It's quality, but it's all knocked off, you know. So, for instance, men can get that fantastic cologne by Colin Klein.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they also sell the new records from Kirk Cobain.
Yeah.
See?
Well, they've got Kirk Cobain t-shirt. That's why.
We should do that.
That was mine and Paul Elliott's idea. We decided we should do a range of t-shirts and it would just have like, it would have a picture of Guns N' Roses, but it would just have Poison above it. So all of the pictures would be of the wrong bands. But just
and you'd
be
get
a good
people
joke.
Out,
just be a
out.
Good joke. Yeah, to,
are
some
you
people would be
out. Are you making a joke about Poison?
You have the choir boys, you know, and it would say Tattooed Love Boys. It would be great. It'd be great.
Yeah, but
the kids would laugh.
I'm feeling.
It was only like when Topshop started selling Iron Maiden t-shirts.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
My daughters, I saw them in a.
Probably a Guns N' Roses t-shirt. It's quite cool.
Yeah.
A Guns N' Roses
t-shirt.
Well,
I'll tell you about the time my eldest daughter, this is about 10 years ago, she was playing Guitar Hero. And of course, it was the Slash one.
Right.
And I was listening. I said, "What are you doing?" She goes, "Oh, Slash." I went, "Oh." She goes, "Do you know him?" I went, "You know." And then about
you
two.
Said, let me tell you about the night.
Let me tell you about the heroine.
Three hours later.
No, about 2 days later, I'm going past their room and I can hear Sweet Child of Mine. Mm. And I went in and I said, "What's that you're listening to?" She goes, "It's called Sweet Child of Mine. It's by a group called Guns N' Roses. Have you ever heard them?"
Yeah.
And I went,
You said, let me tell you about the Use Your Illusion album.
Well, see, I did used to listen to it, but then I got more interested in ripping off the kids.
Yeah. No.
Spreading rumours and lies.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Yeah.
Right, so moving on.
Well, that was a good story that had no end. You were supposed to be talking about T-shirts. That was just one of your little rambling stories.
No, I think I was just concerned that you were actually making fun of Poison.
Yeah. Well, Kirk, I'm going to do a series of Kirk Cobain T-shirts. And that, I think they'll go
Seriously?
Well.
Seriously, yeah.
I think they'll go well. I can't be sued because his name. They'd have to admit that his name wasn't...
Kirk Cobain.
I said, no, you don't... I said, Kirk Cobain. It's not your Kurt Cobain you're thinking of.
No, it's yeah. that...
That's it, like, did you...
It's that redneck. It's that fucking redneck
did you like,
whose actual name is Kirk yeah. K... Cobain with
yeah.
a K.
Yeah. Did you like This Country, the TV show This Country? It was like a mockumentary about the kids who lived out in Gloucestershire. You know, they were... It's a really fucking funny mockumentary.
When was that?
Daisy May Cooper and her brother.
Oh, no! This year?
Yeah. Well, no, not this year. Oh. Finished now. But
I saw her in this other thing, which was very...
Oh, cool. That was very good, yeah. But her breakthrough show was called This Country, where she sort of played this feckless... You know,
Daisy May played yeah. a feckless... No.
She had a knock-off. She always used to wear this England shirt, but it was a knock-off, and it had four lions on it.
Listen, we got to get into the T-shirt business. We've
got to get into the T-shirt game.
You know, people go, oh, Maiden, they're a big band, biggest... They became millionaires through T-shirt sales. Long
yeah.
before the records
yeah.
got them.
I think Kirk Cobain might have become a millionaire, but...
Kirk Cobain. In the actuality.
I was just going to say, Kirk lives. That's what it's going to say.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And then on the back it just says, rape me.
Yeah,
but I say that's nothing to do with the song. Yeah.
Well, that is an innovative
business idea.
It is
Dragon's Den.
Absolutely,
I'd liven up fucking Dragon's Den.
This week's entrepreneurs are Johnny James Rotten and his partner W. Mick Wall, and they've got an idea for the Dragons.
We come in suits, but we just rip them open.
Yeah.
And we're wearing our T-shirts.
Yeah.
I'm wearing Kirk Cobain.
Kirk Cobain.
Yeah, and you're wearing, I don't know, you're just wearing the dealer or something. We could do a dealer range, something like that.
Wow.
In tribute
I'm here. So you get the Kirk Cobain
The person
t-shirt.
Who invented the Kirk Cobain t-shirt gets to wear it.
Wow.
Oh, well, you can wear one. I'll design one for you. I'll design a Kirk one for you.
Why don't you just rape me?
Will say, Kirk Cobain, I never actually interviewed him. That's what yours will say. But nonetheless, I've written a lot of fucking features.
Yeah, and which editor at the time was telling me to fucking do that? Which editor was standing over my shoulder going, killed himself. Can you just fucking bash out 3,000 words?
On what his last days were like. Yeah,
which I did. And I remember Barton was editing and he goes, were you in Seattle? I was like, no.
Yeah.
He said, because this reads like you were there.
Yeah.
And I was like, thanks. Job done.
Yeah, cheers,
no,
mate.
In the corner of the office over there, drinking coffee,
making
mate.
It up, yeah. Yeah.
Making it up.
Well, yeah,
are you implying I would rip off the kids?
How it would be if
Reimagining.
You had been there. Reimagining, yeah. Yeah.
Entering into a kind of post-narrative juxtaposition between... reality and actuality.
And I was reading, I'm sure he's fucking spelt Kirk wrong. This idiot. This fucking idiot.
It's like I always say about Kurt Hammett.
Yeah.
You know? So you can turn up in Kirk Cobain.
You and Kirk discussing your bloody essential oils.
Essential oils.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Lavender.
Lavender. The medicine chest in a bottle.
Ooh, Ace of Spades. Everybody loves Ace of Spades.
Right, now listen, can we get back to the important subject of the news? I think we may be coming... we may be running a little bit out of time.
This bulletin's coming to an end.
I think it is in about six minutes.
We'll just cross to you for the funny. The little funny at the end.
Well, no, I was just going to say that... Do you remember the last time you and I were in this hallowed space, and we were talking about that festival. Is it Power
Festivus?
It's not called Festivus. No, I don't know. Don't do that to me. I'm like,
it was called something. It had some stupid like Power Rock,
Power Trip,
Power Rock, or
Power,
yeah.
Power. Yeah. And Ozzy, who just announced his retirement from live touring about a week later, was announced as one of the headliners. And then a couple of weeks ago, it's announced he's not appearing.
No, you can't.
And
do
I
it.
Said to you last
can't
time,
do it.
You know who will replace him? And I said,
you said
Judas Priest. And did you, you said, you
I said,
said,
no chance.
Guess what?
No chance.
Guess what?
Is this really
you
supposed,
will never
is this
guess.
Really supposed to be an example of one-upmanship? You
no,
managed to guess
no.
who would replace
no.
Ozzy on some
no,
bill
I'm,
somewhere.
I don't play those games.
No.
I'm all about the facts.
Yeah.
I'm all about the truth.
Yeah.
I'm all about the actuality.
So somebody's waved a large check under the nose of who? Bill Kerbishley. Is he still managing Judas Priest?
Probably. Yeah. I don't know. No, but are you suggesting these people do that just for the money?
No, no, no. But I'm saying it would get you out there. I mean, you're not going to do it not for the money, are you? You're not going to go, do you want to replace... The phone goes, do you want to replace... We didn't choose you initially. We
no.
didn't want you the first time.
No, but we're
and
stuck
we, and we understand that you put your career on hold for about 4 years because you're supposed to be touring with Ozzy and it never happened.
That's right.
But would you like to replace Ozzy on this festival that no one's ever heard of?
Less money. But that's
yeah.
okay.
Yeah. For less money than we were going to give Ozzy.
Yeah, and they said, went, they went, we're in.
Yeah, all right then.
Yeah. You see, one thing about
you
us,
imagine
John,
the way Bill Kerbishley took that pitch. Yeah, that would have...
Yeah. See, yeah. one thing about you and I, John, you know, they can say what they like, and they usually do.
Yeah.
But here's what they can't take away from us. We definitely don't do this for the money.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Yeah. yeah. Shit better change is all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Change better come.
And on that bombshell, we bid
oh,
you...
That, is that it? That was your Judas Priest story.
What more do you need? I mean,
I don't know. I thought you could at least say something.
No, no. It was basically about how I was right and you were wrong,
okay,
you see.
Right. Okay, that, yeah. Hey, let's leave it there.
Let's
then.
Leave it there.
Yeah.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
How do I stop this, Fern?